The psalmist says in Psalm 96, "Sing to the Lord a new song, sing to the Lord all the earth, sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples." Do that now in those words as we sing together God's word from Psalm number 96. We'll stand and sing and we'll remain standing to pray to the Lord. Day after day, for you are the one and the only, the living God who reigns, and the one who will judge all people of the earth in equity. And Lord, as we come before you, the Lord, our God, the Holy One, the facade of our civil righteousness is laid bare. For we know that there is not one of us before you who is righteous, not even one. For by our nature, while others might be oblivious to the facade that we put on, by our nature we are sinners. You know our hearts, our inmost thoughts. That which is hidden from our neighbour is clear for you to see. If it was all laid out before us, we would be ashamed of us. We would be ashamed of the sin, the secret that we hide. But yet, Lord, as we come and as we confess it to you, as we come and as we confess our sinfulness and look to you for forgiveness, as we come into your presence, we are thankful for the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He died to make us clean. He came to deal with our sin. And as we repent of it, as we believe in Christ Jesus, the sinless Saviour, then we are forgiven. We've been made clean not by our efforts, but through the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, as the Spirit works inside us, applying to us the finished work of Jesus Christ. For it is in Christ that we come this day, as a new creation, where the old is gone, our sins have been dealt with. Lord, help us to have that assurance that because of Christ, that we can come boldly into your presence, knowing that our sins, past, present, and future, have been completely dealt with before you, the Holy God. As we come, as we are confronted and have been confronted with our uncleanness, work in us by your word and spirit. Work mightily amongst us, we pray, applying the life-giving word to our hearts that we might know you more. We might be more and more conformed into the likeness of our Saviour. And Lord, may nothing I do or say may add or take away from your word, but you may be brought all the glory, we pray. Heavenly Father, it is in Christ Jesus' name we ask all of this. Amen. And please be seated. Let's read God's word together as we find it in Mark 7. This is God's word. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing enters the man from outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but his stomach, and then out of his body." Saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For within, out of man's heart, come evil thoughts, such as immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these things come from inside and make a man unclean." Amen. We thank God for his word. We can trust all that it says. It's only Jesus that can make us clean. Because here in this passage, as we come to it, we learn all about the heart. In verse 14 to 15, the matter, the fact of the matter, or the heart of the matter, is the heart. Now I think where we are in this passage in chapter 7, in the first 13 verses, Jesus had been engaging with the Pharisees. They had been out in the open. But look at what happens here. Jesus does something else. He calls the crowd to him. And he tells them a parable, because that's effectively what it is. He tells them a parable, or parabolic language, and he uses it to teach them something that was profound truth, a spiritual truth that is important for all of us. And it's this, look what we're told there. As Jesus calls everyone to them, he says, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. See, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law had placed so much emphasis on the ceremonial washing, on keeping up appearances, as we thought a couple of weeks ago. They failed to see what really mattered was on the inside. It was the heart. And for those who surrounded Jesus at this time, this would have been a profound thing. And the reason was this. See, whether it was a thing or a person, if something was unclean, and if you came in contact with that thing that was unclean, you were excluded from the presence of God. Think with the leper. The leper had to live outside the village. They were excluded from the presence of God. The woman with the discharge who touched the cloak of Jesus, she was excluded from the presence of God because of her discharge. If you were unclean, you could not come before a holy God. You could not enter his presence. You could not come into him and worship him. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law had made all of these traditions. They had used the ceremonial washing as a way that they could keep clean so that they could come before the Lord God. But they didn't realize that all of these things, the ceremonial washings, the difference between clean and unclean things, would help them realize that their entire lives were unclean. Because in reality, it was impossible to stay clean all of the time. You came in contact with something and you became unclean, then you'd have a ceremonial wash, and yet all of it, every time, was to remind you that actually you are unclean before you come before the Lord God. It was to show the people that their lives were unclean. So Jesus here takes what the Pharisees were doing, these traditions of men, and he knocks it on the head. He makes it clear that nothing from out there, nothing from the outside of us, will make us unclean. Makes it clear that nothing from the outside, by going into us, will defile us. That's not most things. It's not just those things or that type of things. It's nothing. Nothing that comes from the outside can make us unclean. What Jesus says here is so totally and utterly comprehensive. And it's because you're already unclean. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law have been so focused on the outside that Jesus makes the point that cleanliness doesn't pertain to what comes from the outside. It's not about what we eat with dirty hands that make the food dirty, which then go enter into us and make us dirty or unclean. No, because what matters is really what's in the heart. Disciples or the Pharisees and teachers of the law seeing these outward things not being observed, but in reality they didn't matter. They missed the point of what the law was teaching. They missed the point of how God was trying to direct his people to how what they needed was God to work on their behalf. See, Jesus was trying to teach them this. See, what matters, or the heart of the matter, is the heart. Now, boys and girls, I want to talk to you again. So the king with the dirty feet, right? So the king with the dirty feet, he got a bath in the river and walked out and then he got his feet dirty. You know, he tried and tried and tried to make the outside of him clean, but it didn't matter. Because if he was a real king, he would still be unclean before God. It doesn't matter how powerful we are in this world or how wonderfully successful we are or how good we think we are, unless we trust in Jesus Christ, our hearts are unclean. What matters for all people, whether it's the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the people of the crowd that Jesus had called himself, is that we come with our hearts and pour them to the Lord. It's not that we have dirt scrubbed from behind our ears or we had our weekly bath today. What matters is our heart. Pharisees have failed to understand that the true holiness is not to do with the show that they put on or how well they kept the ceremonial law or how well that they washed their hands. And all of these things, it's all to do with our hearts. So I want you to note something there. If you've got your Bibles open in front of you, you'll see it. We go from verse 15 and then we go straight to verse 17. If you have an ESV or an NIV, that's what you'll see. If you have the King James Version, you'll still see verse 16. And really, I want to bring a note out of this, because there's a footnote here at the bottom that tells us that the earliest manuscripts don't contain this verse. It says, if anyone who has ears, let them hear. Jesus had used this in the parable of the sower. He said, if anyone has ears, let him hear. It doesn't matter whether we include it or not here, but all of those who gathered listening to Jesus, they didn't quite understand. They didn't understand what the parable was for what it was. And if we include this verse, the truth is that they heard with their ears, but they still didn't understand, which we discover here in the question of the disciples. In verse 17 to 19, it's the inside that makes us unclean. So they heard, but they didn't hear. As the passage moves on, look, we've the scene moving once more in verse 17. After he had left the crowd, he entered a house with the disciples there before him. They had ears, but it's clear that they didn't understand, because what did they ask Jesus to do? They asked about this parable. Now, again, if you've got the King James or the SV in front of you, you'll see the similar wording, and you'll see that they didn't understand. They were without understanding. Jesus challenges them about why they were without understanding. I love the NIV translation for this, because Jesus turns around to them and says, whenever they ask about the parable, are you so dull? See, what we learn from their question, as well as the response of Jesus, this retort, something that shouldn't really surprise us, because we all live in a culture. We've grown up in a culture to a larger or greater extent, and so often the way we are is impacted by that culture around us. There's lots of times that we're willing just to accept the way things are because, well, that's the way we've grown up. But if you were to take us here and transplant us into a different culture, then we would be left going, well, things are very different. It's not the way things are done back at home. But how many of us are willing to just accept things as the way they are without actually thinking about them? When someone does something differently, then we think to ourselves, well, that's not right. I prefer it being done that way. And we never really think of the reason why we do what we do and why we do. See, the disciples, their mindset was exactly the same. So they heard what Jesus had said to this crowd, but it was such a profound thing that Jesus had said. Trying to get their heads around it was another thing. So here with the disciples and their baggage with them, come to Jesus and they ask Jesus to explain it. Jesus does it in a really simple way. He does it and he explains how the digestive system works. Now, we don't need to be doctors to know how the digestive system works. Right, boys and girls, you might be able to help me in this. What happens whenever I eat something? Where does it go? In your tummy, into your stomach. Does it go into my heart? No. It doesn't. We all know that whenever we eat something, it goes to our stomach. See, Jesus here teaches his disciples about this. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law have been teaching what they were eating was unclean because their hands were unclean. So the food was unclean and they ate it and they became unclean, but it goes to your stomach. Whereas in the heart, the innermost self, it doesn't go there. You don't need a degree in anatomy to figure out that that's where it goes. It goes, the food goes into the stomach. And heart here is used figuratively, like we use heart in our love songs. You know, in our innermost being, as we sing to each other wonderful things. It's the heart. See, the disciples out with unclean hands, and the food then was unclean, but it went not into their hearts, it went into their stomachs. How can a physical thing like food, which has been made unclean by your touch, that goes not to your heart but to your stomach, make your heart unclean? Jesus was making the point that the cleanliness has nothing to do with what we eat. It's not to do with our stomach, but our heart. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, well, they had a standard for cleansing cleanliness, which is one
in a way to keep oneself clean, in a way to think that they could come before a holy God, but they had failed to see that all of these things were really to point out that their entire lives before a holy God were unclean. They had made it about tradition, about keeping up appearances instead of being an inward reality. Now, the teaching of Jesus here might seem obvious to us. You might say, well, of course. But you know, it's like the saying, you can take the fella out of Crossgar, but you can't take Crossgar out of the fella. We know what that means. You know, some of us aren't from here, but you know, we're so impacted to where we grew up and who we were surrounded by. Well, here, these disciples were so shaped by their culture and so shaped by their bringing up that they struggled to wrap their head around what Jesus was saying. See, in verse 19, we're told, in saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. And I want to take you to the book of Acts chapter 10. If you want, you can turn to it. I'll paraphrase it for us. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 10 to 16, we're told of the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter had been there with Jesus that day. The Apostle Peter had been there with the Pharisees. He was probably one of the ones who didn't wash their hands, right? He ate food. Then he was with the crowd with Jesus. And then he was in that room with Jesus. Well, the Apostle Peter, who was there, in Acts 10, we're told of Peter going to the roof to pray. He became hungry. He wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance and the Lord spoke to him. He saw a large sheet coming down from heaven with its four corners, and it contained all kinds of food, four-footed animals, as well as reptiles, earth, and birds of the air. And a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter's response was this, "Surely not, Lord. I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke a second time, "Do not call anything impure or unclean that the Lord God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheep was taken back to heaven. The reason why I draw our attention to this and this Peter's vision, okay, it was the beginning of his mission to the Gentiles, but it also revealed years later that Peter still hadn't understood the words of Jesus. He'd been taught this, but he still hadn't grasped the significance of it. He still had trouble believing that we're not made unclean by the things on the outside. A couple of things I want to draw out of this for us. Firstly, are we any different? You know, it's hard for us, isn't it, to come at things with fresh eyes, to examine what we do and what we believe against the scriptures. You know, the things that we hold dear, we struggle to let go. And it's not because they're there, it's because we've grown up on them. It's because we hold on to them because it connects us to the past rather than being what the scriptures teach. See, all of us should be praying that we have a teachable spirit, that the Lord would conform us more and more into the likeness of our Lord and Savior, instead of being conformed into a church culture or a culture, secular culture that surrounds us. See, we can all be like this. We can all be like Peter, who heard the words and we know something to be true, but we grew up with a certain belief, and that's the thing that we hold on to. See, whenever we know our brothers and sisters are struggling with something that we know is not right, we should still endeavor to love them. And we also need to be careful that in those times that the things that aren't clearly taught in Scripture don't become the be-all and end-all. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Timothy, I told you you'd work come up in your workloads. And I really don't mind. If we ever became a church that required people to dress in a certain way, there's something wrong. Everything that we do, we should examine against the Word of God. And there are some things that we may hold on to, even in our hearts, that we need to lay them aside. Because it's the inside that matters. We need to be known by the love and how Christ has changed our hearts as we love one another, and that love will be seen in this world of darkness. In the midst of it all, ultimately we learn in this passage that our heart is unclean. See, we've had Jesus tell those who are there that the heart of the matter is the heart, The inside is what makes us unclean. It's the heart that makes us unclean, not the stomach, not what we eat. So here's a question. As we get to the heart that's unclean, here's a question. Ask yourself this question. Honestly, I'm not looking for submissions as we go out the door. I don't want your cards to be marked. Ask yourself this. This list that's given here. From within, verse 21. Out of men's hearts, that's man, woman, children, out of our hearts come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. These evils come from inside and make a man unclean. You notice what it says first? For within come evil thoughts. This isn't speaking so much of the action. This is speaking of where it originates. So here's the question. Do we see this in ourselves? Do we see that it's not outside that makes us the way we are, but inside? Do we understand that our biggest issue is the heart? That person might have made us mad with them, but ultimately it's our heart that got mad. Let's pick a few of these things here. Sexual immorality. Okay, so that's anything outside of the marital relationship between one man and one woman. Not even action. We're thinking about thoughts here. Have we ever thought of anything that is outside the confines of a man and wife, between husband and wife and marriage? Not an action, just a thought. You looked at someone lustfully. Next one, what about theft? You know, have we ever thought? Never mind taking the action that I just want to take that, and life would be so much easier if I took that thing. See, whenever we start to examine these things, whenever we start to examine the inside of us, we realize that as we go through them all, that it is our heart that is the issue. Sin begins in the inside. It's not because we ate food with dirty hands and the food became unclean. It's not because of out there. It's because it starts in here. No action ever began just out there. Adultery always happens because it starts here first. Murder happens because it starts here first. And whether we like to admit it or not, these things are all common to each and every one of us, to a greater or lesser extent. Because by our hearts, we are sinful. And because of this, as we were thinking earlier, we are unable to come before a holy God. Our uncleanness means that we are totally defiled, that we cannot approach a living God because of our nature. God's not primarily concerned about our appearances today. He's concerned about our hearts. Where are our hearts? Are our hearts far from the Lord, or are our hearts willing to bend our knee and come before Him? Think back to the change that we've seen in our lives in the last couple of years. The constant message about being careful, about sanitizing our hands, about not getting close to people. And we walk into the shop and the sanitizer's there, and you come to church and the sanitizer's there as you walk in, and you go into the pew and the sanitizer's there, and we sanitize our hands so much, and boys and girls, yeah, you even have hands that are so sore and cracked because you've sanitized your hands so much in school. You know, it's the right thing to do. It's all there to stop us from getting coronavirus, and though most of us still end up getting coronavirus, but it's to keep us clean. Boys and girls, there's no amount of hand sanitizing that can make us clean before God. There's no amount of effort or washing our feet like the king with the dirty feet that can make us clean before God, except for trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. He changes our heart. See, the heart is by its nature unclean. So, congregation, what we need to understand is we have a wee problem, whether we want to admit it or not. But we have a heart problem, a sin problem. There's nothing that can make our hearts clean bar the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing that we can do is to turn to Him and to trust in Him, because we daily break all the commandments in thought, word, and deed. But the good news of the gospel for all of us is that it doesn't matter how dirty the world says that we are. It doesn't matter how filth-stained that you believe you are. It doesn't matter even if people cross the other side of the street because they're afraid of getting coronavirus. The good news of the gospel is that Christ came for sinners whose hearts were unclean. We recognize our sin for what it is, that because of a sinless Savior, we will be forgiven. We will be made clean not by our efforts, our endeavors, but by the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is what Jesus does that makes our hearts clean, so that we can come before a holy God as we repent and believe, not on our efforts, not on our appearances, not in the things that we do, but in what Jesus has done from beginning to end. See, we will always have a heart that is unclean unless Christ comes and makes us a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come, but we need His power to work daily within us. We need God to work by His Spirit. For unless we are born again, we will not see the kingdom of God. None of us are clean. None of us are deserving by God's grace. But yet the Lord has sent His Spirit that He promised long ago. As He said in Ezekiel, I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. If you have repented and believed this day, then you are washed in the blood of the Lamb. You are made clean before a holy God. You can come into His presence without fear as a child of God. If you have not repented of your sin, then coming before a holy God is one that should be filled with fear for you. For it is not forgiveness, but judgment you will receive in your sin-stained rags, with an unclean heart. Amen. Let's join together in prayer, and as we do so, let us stand together. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you as a people who, by our nature, are unclean. None of us are deserving of your grace. None of us can by our nature hope to come into your presence. But you, Father, have sent your Son, and through your Son, Jesus Christ, worked in us by the Spirit. We have been given a new life, new hearts. We have been given His righteousness so that we may come into your presence, that we may have been cleaned by the blood of the Lamb within us. So help us ever to look to Jesus Christ as our hope, our confidence, and our assurance, instead of looking to our feelings. Help us to look to Jesus. Help us and fill us with praise and thanks for that great gift that we have received. Fill us with a wonder at how you would call us, who by our nature are unclean, to come into your presence, to worship you, our holy God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, the one who changes our hearts, so that our hearts that are filled with evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly, so that our sin may be dealt with. And Lord, at this time we bring our prayers of intercession and supplication. As we pray for others, we bring this land before you.
We bring our leaders, both in Westminster and here locally. We pray for our Prime Minister, that, Lord, that you may be at work in that situation. Whatever rights and wrongs there may be, that, Lord, that you may help him to look to you as his hope and his guide. For our local elected leaders, Estonian has collapsed. We do pray that you may be at work there. That there may be unity where there is disunity. That there may be a desire to listen and hear. And that, Lord God, that they may see that ultimately they are only there because you have made it so. And, Lord, for the church that has been so impacted by COVID, that has seen falling numbers and decline, we pray that you may bring transformation in our hearts, that we may praise your name, that we may long to be in your presence as a people who are called by you. And Father, in this broken world, we also ask for those who we know and love, those who have been through surgery. We pray that you may help their body to heal. For those who are facing illness and declining health, give them the help to face each day. For those who care for them, help them to be able to cope. For those who things didn't turn out as they wanted, or those who have been left disappointed with the results, help them to look to Jesus and to know, each one of us, that Christ alone is our hope, in this life and the next, and that we can have comfort in that knowledge. And Heavenly Father, we also come as a people who are once more aware of the sting of death. We're aware of how it comes to all of us. We thank you that in Jesus Christ, that he shared in our humanity so that he, by his death, might destroy him who holds the power of death, so that we might be free from our slavery and the fear of it. We know it is a hurdle that we almost face. But Lord, at this time, those who grieve, we pray that you may be with them. For those whom the loss seems so acute to, that they may know the hope that there is in Jesus Christ. Especially at this time, we're mindful, Lord, of the Robinson family. For Sam and Elna. Heavenly Father, for those who have been affected by this, for those who grieve, that, Lord, that they may have hope in Jesus, that they may know that because he lives, that all who have faith will also live, that death is not the end. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the great and glorious gospel, the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. That means we can come before you, our holy God, praying all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to join together to sing our closing hymn. It's one we're more familiar with in our evening service. Only a holy God.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore. Amen.